Well, a sad weekend. Yesterday, it was announced that Chicago's film community, they mourned the loss of Facets founder Milos Stalic. Milos had lung cancer. He died Saturday in his Lincoln Park home at the age of 70. Such a tough loss. Milos, he created the international film house Facets back in the mid-70s, but it's more than just an art house that played films with subtitles. Facets is a community. It's built by Stalic, but Facets brought in film festivals, lectures, taught classes to young filmmakers. He was such a distinct voice. It helped that he had a thick accent, being born in Czechoslovakia back in 1949. But he was also a voice for international film and filmmakers, giving them not only a place to play their films, but he was a longtime contributor to the public radio program Worldview, where he'd review the films. He'd interview the filmmakers and comment on what those films meant to the world that we live in, sometimes worlds we knew nothing about. I got a chance to work with Milos, always professional, always thoughtful. Later in his life, I would run into him at screenings for this film or that film or some filmmaker I was going to talk to. Nothing made me happier than to catch up with an old friend before the lights went down. The last time I saw him, I said, you know, you got to come on with me. We'll do a whole show about your life and what you're watching. And he said, let's make it happen. And unfortunately, we never did. A lot of people are sad today. One of those, longtime friend and colleague, Gretchen Helfrich. Gretchen's on the board at Facets, but also worked with Milos at WBEZ, where she produced Worldview and his commentaries and hosted her own show, Odyssey, and she's in studio with me. Gretchen, good to see you.
Good to see you, Justin.
I wish it was better circumstances,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, me too.
So, Milos, let's get right into it. This, you know, let's go back to, you know, what it means to have Facets in Chicago. So, in 1975, to bring this to Lincoln Park, this is something that, you know, I don't know if people recognize that Facets has been around this long.
Facets has been around a really long time, and it changed the landscape for film in Chicago, but not just in Chicago. You know, one of the things, so I guess I'm jumping ahead of your question, but one of the amazing things that Facets did, that Milos did, was innovate distribution of film. So, you know, long before Netflix was sending you those little red envelopes, Facets was shipping out their films to subscribers all over the country, and in some cases all over the world. And, you know, people were getting their Jean-Luc Godard in a little envelope and watching it with their friends and in places, you know. Okay, so he transformed Chicago, but he made film accessible. He made a deep archive of film available to people all over the country. People who had no other access to these films could access them through Facets and its subscription service or its video, you know, distribution service. And it was just astonishing. But you're right. You're right. I mean, to just set up shop, there's this incredible boldness about it to just say, like, you know, we're going to start showing films and maybe people want to watch them and maybe they don't. And he did it. I mean, he didn't do it entirely alone. I want to make sure that everybody understands that Facets is an organization with lots of people involved. But, you know, Milos was the indispensable one.
For you, Milos had a love of film that is deeper than any of us really know. Where did it come from? Where, I mean, from what you know of Milos and working with him, why did he dedicate his life to this?
Well, a couple of reasons. I mean, I suppose he fell in love with film the way lots of people do, by seeing films and being astonished by them and feeling transformed by them. But one of the things that made Milos so distinctive was that his appreciation of film or his love of film was really, really expansive. What I mean by that is, you know, I don't ever feel like he took pride in his sophistication. I mean, the guy was sophisticated.
Yeah, very much so.
Incredibly so. And I have to say, I would not say he had a thick accent. I would say he had a slight accent, which enhanced his air of international, you know, his continental figure. But, you know, he, for as smart as he was, and for as much as he knew about film, you never felt from him that he didn't think you were equally capable of appreciating film, of loving film, of understanding film, you know? And I think to a large extent, his you know, he'd get riled up about people wasting time on stupid movies, you know, movies that weren't interesting, movies that didn't tell stories in an interesting way. But I think he deeply believed that if people would give better films a try, they would like them. I mean, he didn't feel like, oh, audiences can't handle this. You know, I think he really deeply believed that film was accessible to a lot of people.
And I learned from him, too, that, you know, he could sniff out pretty quick a Hollywood film industry, that how they were making money or how they were going to, what the game plan was for what film or another. I would bring it up and he would say, that's all about China. Or he would talk about other places. He knew, because of his background in the industry and distribution, he knew exactly what a film company was trying to do with their film.
Yeah.
But that's him. So Facets has been on the, I would say, an outlier, because you have a downtown film house in the Siskel Center. Mm-hmm. You have also, I think, some of the other art houses downtown, the River East and others, that are doing more of this kind of programming. So where does Facets fit in when it comes to the international film community in Chicago?
Well, you know, Facets is the head of this. I read something today where one of the directors at the Siskel Center described Facets as friendly competition. You know, Facets was born at a time, or came through a time when Chicago had a lot more outlets for interesting and non-mainstream film. You know, places like the Oak Street Theater, the Fine Arts down in Michigan, which is gone now.
Right.
You know, lots of places have closed that used to support a film community in Chicago. And the Siskel Center, you know, which I guess you could say is like, well, I know there's the Music Box as well. I don't want to put them out.
Music Box is a great example, yeah.
But, you know, Facets has always made, and because of Milos, has always made a real effort to bring films that nobody else was going to show you, to really, really dig deep to find good films from all over the world, and even from within the United States, from filmmakers mm-hmm. who weren't getting attention that maybe they deserved.
And we were on, and we talked back in the download and also on the Steve Cochran Show, just about the festivals that you produce. You do the religious festival at Facets. And
mm-hmm.
But this idea that film is humanity, and by showing some of these films, you get a better understanding of the life that is lived in some of these areas of the world that you otherwise are only told about by your local news or your preferred cable news outlet. That you're not getting a full scope of how people live. And I always felt that the films that Milos and Facets wanted to bring forth were films that showed us a little bit more about the human experience around the globe.
So Milos told me last year that one of the most significant things that had happened at Facets on West Fullerton, not in his life necessarily, but at Facets, happened in 1998 when Facets showed a film called Young War in the Land of the Mujahideen. This was shortly after President Clinton had decided to bomb Afghanistan. So this is before the Taliban, before mm-hmm. September 11th. This is the 90s, hey. But this was a response to the bombings of the American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. So, at least I think that's what it was. Well, let's say what. Anyway, at the time, people didn't know very much about Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. People, frankly, still don't know very much about Afghanistan. But they knew nothing, absolutely nothing. And so Facets showed this documentary, which was about an Italian doctor who had gone to Afghanistan and worked there and then started raising money to build clinics for the victims of landmines. And these were landmines that had been left there from the period when the Russians had invaded Afghanistan, because...
Sure, you leave that stuff behind, right?
You leave that stuff behind. Yeah, I mean, it's just Afghanistan. Right, just, we don't need to take our landmines home. But anyway, so Facet scheduled a free screening of the film. And this was on a weekend morning. And Milos told me that by 10 a.m. on the day of the screening, there was a line 4 blocks long to get in. And so Facets kept adding additional screenings throughout the day and just filled the theaters. They just kept filling the theaters. Out the people went, new screening, more people, because people were so hungry for any kind of understanding of this place that was suddenly relevant in their lives. And he truly believed, I mean, to the bottom of his heart, that film could create empathy. That film could connect you to other people that you think you're not connected with. And that is a belief that isn't always apparent in mainstream filmmaking. I mean, it's not necessarily what filmmakers are trying to do, but there are filmmakers who are trying to do that, and he was really committed to that idea. I mean, that has a lot to do with the way FACETS education programs are done and the Children's Film Festival programming.
Right.
You know, the Chicago International Children's Film Festival is one of Mielisch's huge achievements, getting that happening here in Chicago. But yeah, it was a real belief that film could connect you to people in other places. And he's right. It doesn't happen every time you go to the movies, but he's right.
Gretchen Helfrich, my guest. She's on the board at FACETS Multimedia, and we're talking about Mielisch Stahlik, who died this weekend at the age of 70. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and continue our conversation here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Extension 720 here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 10 o'clock tonight. We're talking about Mielisch Stahlik, the longtime founder and would you say owner? Was owner of FACETS Multimedia?
No, founder and executive director.
Executive director.
Yeah.
Died at the age of 70, had lung cancer, died in his home on Saturday. Gretchen Helfrich is here, board member at FACETS and longtime coworker of his at WBEZ in Chicago, a place where when you started, 25 years ago, you had the great fortune of working with Mielisch on his reviews. So take us to that place. Take us to how you guys met each other and how you worked together.
So this would have been 1994, and which I think is when you started at WBEZ2, and you were like 14, something like
14.
That. You're ridiculously young.
Sophomore in high school, yeah.
And I was pretty young in my 20s, and I was working on Worldview, and one of my tasks when I first began working there was recording and producing the reviews that Mielisch did for Worldview. And first of all, there's just what I learned from the reviews and from listening to Mielisch.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But, you know, I have to say, and this is getting a little bit personal, but I'm going to go there. You know, I was 26, I think, at the time, and I didn't really know yet. I didn't really know what my life was going to be like, and I didn't really know if my life was going to be interesting, if there was going to be art in my life. I just didn't know. You know, I liked film. I loved film, actually. But, you know, I had a rather ordinary American film upbringing, nothing particularly exotic or special. And I meet this person who, without ever intending to, I mean, he didn't ever say, like, I'm gonna help Gretchen along. Like, that was not necessarily his goal, at least I don't think so. But all of a sudden, there were so many more possibilities. And he just expanded the range of art and interest and beauty and so many things that were now in my life because of him. And he introduced me to so many films, to so many filmmakers. Not I don't mean personally introduced me to filmmakers, but, you know, introduced me to the work of so many filmmakers. Like, there's not a chance in hell that I ever would have encountered these films had I not met him.
And that's,
I mean, it's really, really, it's like my life was going along, and all of a sudden there was this just broader path that I was on because of him.
Yeah. And I wonder that, and that's a great tribute to anybody, and specifically Mielisch, but I wonder how much he did for listeners of the radio station and people who came out to see his lectures or whatever, that opened up their eyes to saying there's much more to this world. I mean, capital W. Than you may be aware of. And there's something about when you get the ability to do that and pass it on and be a vibrant member of your community, not just film community, but in Chicago, to give people that opportunity like he gave you. That's amazing. That's what it's all about, right?
It really, it's a testament to him. And it's, you know, may we all live our lives so well, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, may we all have as many friends as he does. As many people paying tribute to him as are doing so now, you have to admire that. There's so many things to admire, just so many things. But one of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, you talk about introducing people to new possibilities. One of the things that Mielisch was really excellent at was pointing you in the direction of film that was going to be totally different from anything that you had ever seen before, and yet completely accessible and enjoyable. I never felt like he steered me towards films that were like overly weird and challenging. You know,
yeah,
I'd watch
right,
a film
right,
and I'd be
right.
like, that was great. I don't have any trouble understanding why that was great. This weird Czech film that I've never heard of before with like so many diacritic marks in the title. I don't even know. And I'd watch and I'd be like, what's so hard about that? Like, why did I think that was going to be hard or difficult to understand? Now, you know, I've come across some films that are they're weird. OK, let's just say it. They're not all easy. But I think Milos had this belief that you could all get there. Everybody could get there.
Yeah.
And there was a whole world of just really fine storytelling and really fine filmmaking that maybe came in a different language or maybe didn't come from sources you were used to. But it was perfectly accessible and it was perfectly relatable. And those, you know, that back to that theme of empathy, it was a step into new territory if you were willing to go there. And he just thought everybody could go there.
This town has had tremendous filmmakers and film talent. And I think of Siskel and Ebert, of course. And I think of Chicago being an unlikely place for so many great, talented people from Harold Ramis on down that you wouldn't think would be in Chicago. They'd be in Hollywood or New York or something like that. When you think of Milos and he now joins the greats that have come before him, what do you think his lasting impact will be?
It's hard to assess. 'Cause to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of still in the personal phase of coping with this news. And I realize that there's a bigger picture. But right now, he was my friend. And so I'm having a little trouble getting to the part of processing the bigger picture. But I think that, you know, he created a place. We were talking about this today. I was at Facets today, and we were talking about this. He created a place, and he created a set of beliefs about cinema that were really, really, this is going to sound so corny, but pure. You know, it was about the films. It wasn't about the coolness of the films or the stars of the films. It certainly wasn't about the merchandising of the films. It was just about the art. And that's a tremendous, there's so little space for that.
Yeah.
There's just so little space for that. And his fundamental commitment to that is something that has just, it's affected so many people. And I'm seeing it now as people are telling stories about Milos and, you know, reminiscing about him and talking about the way, I was just hearing people, for example, today at Facets talking about how they got to Facets. And, you know, there were all these kinds of stories of this, like, transformative experience of encountering films and realizing, like, wow, there's this place that just does this and how amazing that was. And I want to say that particularly for the Children's Film Festival, which he started, this is the 36th film festival. This year, it's in November, it'll be the 36th film festival. And the respect for kids that comes through in that film festival is just, it's tremendous. And you know, when you talk about merchandising of films, like the kids movies, that's the worst. You know, there are so many films that kids are presented with where the ultimate goal is to get them to turn around and ask their parents to buy something for them, to buy the action figure or the candy or the whatever.
Right.
And to just be committed to the belief that children deserve better stories. And that he really truly believed that if children saw better films, they'd be better people. He really believed that.
That's true. Gretchen Helfrich, a board member at Facets Multimedia, and we're talking about Milos Štehlík, who died this weekend at the age of 70. Gretchen, thanks so much. I know it's a tough time, and I appreciate you coming in to talk about Milos and to tell us more about why he does deserve to be on the Mount Rushmore of film community here in Chicago. So I appreciate it. Thanks, Gretchen.